Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central, inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville, Florida. Time for a little Jaguars This Week. Extra 2 hours of fun and merriment as we recap a little bit of last Sunday and really look forward to next Sunday in the bye week. You can join us this evening, 355-NFL-1 if you are in Jacksonville, 800-355-NFL-1 if you are not. And if you're near a computer, at Jags Voice if you want to tweet a thought for Jeff or Vic. Gentlemen, good evening.
Hello, Brian.
Good evening.
I've been following the goings-on in Dallas with interest this week since Tony Romo was injured in the ball game the other night in Dallas at, I don't know what you call it, Dallas Cowboy Stadium.
Cowboy Stadium.
The Taj Mahal.
Jerry's place.
Yeah, Jerry's joint. They're talking about 8 to 10 weeks on Romo, and Jerry Jones is saying, we'll have him back by Christmas. They're 1-5.
It doesn't matter.
Why would you rush it? That brings to mind the point. You know, you have a team there that for whom winning now is really losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have bad ownership, and that's why they lose. And
yeah, I mean, just accept just the fact you're going to have a top pick in every round, and with as many star players as they have,
you know,
you explode next year.
It's just real simple. He bought the team and made a great choice of a head coach because he happened to be his college teammate,
right,
Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson then gave him 3 Super Bowl titles. And somewhere along the line, Jerry Jones felt that he was responsible for those Super Bowl titles. So he facilitated this split between the two, and they haven't done a freaking thing since.
You know, owner, president, and general manager.
He's not a championship owner.
He's one hell of a businessman.
Yeah, but
make no mistake about it.
Yeah, but you see, this is where football, though it is a business, when you're on the field, which is where the games are decided, it's a game. You have to have a certain savoir faire for the game, and he doesn't
have.
Well, you're saying the best business.
Wait a minute, I've won 13 games a couple years ago, and then 9, and then 11. I mean,
how many playoff games has he won since he last won a Super Bowl? Since Jimmy Johnson last won a Super Bowl?
Well, he won a Super Bowl with Barry, right?
Well, since Barry Switzer won Super Bowl right. with Jimmy Johnson's team,
Super Bowl 30.
All right, how many playoff games have they won?
Last year was their first playoff win since that Super Bowl.
Okay,
win.
And how many playoff games have the Jaguars won in that same time? Several.
Yeah.
Somebody just goes to show you how bad it is. I mean, they're screaming bloody murder around here.
I could think of a lot worse owners in the National Football League. I got a lot of respect for Jerry. I think he does a great job. I think he does a great job for the league. I think he does probably the best job in all of sports marketing his franchise.
Oh, wow. We could not be at more opposite ends. I think he is horrible for the league. I think he has hurt the game dramatically. I think he has potentially runs the risk of ruining the game if he's allowed to carry on with his extremism and his selfishness. And as far as for all of that selfishness, he's got nothing to show for it beyond what Jimmy Johnson gave him.
It's your opinion.
Yeah, it is.
It's your opinion, but I mean, how can you argue with what he has been able to do for the league from a marketing standpoint?
What did he do? They had a Coke deal, and he gave him Pepsi. He screwed him.
So what's wrong with him?
He betrayed his partners.
Jerry was on the cutting edge and really, I think, took the owners around the league and showed them, here's what you can do. Here's other ways that you can make money. And really, can you think of an owner in the National Football League has done that? I mean, Daniel Snyder did, but I mean, Jerry was the first one who did it.
He betrayed his partners. They had a, was it Coke or Pepsi?
They had a league-wide Coke deal, and then he went and cut a deal.
Cut his own deal.
With Pepsi being the official soft drink of Texas Stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
They're still league
partners now. And
do the coaches in the game today have a pension? Nope. And it's because of Jerry Jones. He betrayed them, too.
I'm just telling you that there are more sources of income in the league now for teams because of what Jerry has trailblazed in the NFL.
I don't agree.
Okay.
355-NFL-1. 355-6351.
He pushed the revenue envelope. If that's what you're saying, then I agree. He forced everybody to push the revenue envelope. As a result, these people, these fans today, are paying more for a ticket than ever before because of Jerry Jones.
And he happens to be an owner of maybe the most popular team in all the NFL.
Well, it was that way before he even bought it.
One of a couple.
It was that way before he bought it.
Oh, no.
They were America's team long before Jerry Jones bought it.
Self-proclaimed America's team.
No, they were. They were on TV. You can count on when CBS owned the rights to the NFC, they were always, even when they were 1-15 after he just took over in his first year, they were on TV.
Here's the thing that makes Cowboys America's team. I mean, just when you see this, CBS only gets two games of theirs a year. Sunday, the Jaguars have Jim Nantz.
Right.
And Phil Simms, you know, doing the game. And I thought, why? Oh, it's Dallas. I mean, that's the Cowboys hit that thing.
That team was built by Tex Schramm, Gil Brandt, and Tom Landry.
Well, but you do have to give, I mean, I guess you don't have to give him credit, but I mean, what he's done in terms of taking that to another level in terms of the Cowboys, I mean, he is on the cutting edge with multimedia and all of this kind of stuff. And other teams are trying to follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got all the bells and whistles, there's no question.
Well, what I'm saying is he's built that brand. He's taken that brand
and
driven it further and deeper. I mean, it's to an extreme.
They're
I understand
1-5.
But I mean, when you open it up and you see that they have a cowboy-themed golf course, I mean, holy cow.
That's where their training complex is. I mean, their training complex
Valley Ranch
sits,
is there.
That's where they actually have a golf course around it.
Well, wait a minute.
I thought this was a football team.
I didn't know this was a golf course.
You like golf, don't you? They're 1-5.
And
it's interesting to turn the conversation just slightly to football. I asked Loggy this earlier. I have only seen that one Cowboys game from start to finish this year. But the Cowboys have lost games this year when they've created 5 turnovers against the Giants on Monday night, when they've gained 500 yards in a game, which they did against the Titans and the Giants, when they've held opponents to 188 yards, the Vikings, and when they didn't allow an offensive touchdown, the Redskins. So why are the Cowboys 1-5?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're 1-5 because they got bad ownership. It always starts at the top. You don't have to look any farther than the top. That's where it starts. And in this case, it's consistent. It's come from the top for a long time. And once they got rid of Jimmy Johnson, the drafts got bad. The records got bad, and the playoff wins weren't there.
I don't think they've had some bad drafts. I mean, how do they have bad drafts?
Okay. let's go back and take a look.
I mean, you could see
compared to this team, Vic. I mean, which team's had a better draft, Cowboys or the Jaguars?
Well, I'll take a look. I remember things like franchising Joey Galloway, paying the franchise fee for Joey Galloway, 2 first-round picks for a guy they got nothing out of.
No, they had some bad personnel decisions. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I mean, as a franchise, I mean, you're just hammering them.
Yeah, I think he's been an awful owner. That's my opinion.
I don't know where you get all that from.
They're 1-5.
Okay, 1-5.
They were supposed to win the Super Bowl.
You know, you look at some of the drafted players who were on the roster. I just pick it up in the corners. Newman and Jenkins are. Jay Ratliff and Marcus Spears are. Anthony Spencer and DeMarcus Ware are on the defensive side. And then, of course, boy, I know a guy you really like a lot. Sean Lee is going to start playing a whole lot more here in the very near future. On the offensive side, they drafted Garrod on the offensive line. Jason Witten. They picked up Miles Austin in undrafted free agency. Grabbed Dez Bryant. Marion Barber. Felix Jones. I think that's it.
Okay, well, these are some interesting choices. In 2009, their first-round pick was no choice, traded to Detroit, along with third and sixth-round picks for Roy Williams. Whew, yeah, you got to have those wide receivers.
That was a terrible move by them.
As opposed to Jimmy Johnson, who traded Herschel Walker to Minnesota for their whole freaking draft and half their team, which then propelled him to 3 Super Bowl titles. Their second-round pick was no choice, traded to Buffalo for third and fourth-round choices. Felix Jones was a first-round pick. Is that a good pick?
Hasn't been yet. But he's still a young guy.
Mike Jenkins is playing.
went to the Pro Bowl last year.
He's struggling this year.
Here's a good pick in 2007. Their first-round pick was no choice. Traded to Cleveland for second-round pick and first-round choice in 08, which they then used on Felix Jones. Ah, this is wonderful drafting. Yeah. Bobby Carpenter in 06, bust.
Mm-hmm. That was Bill Parcells. Now, some of those picks have to go on Parcells because did he not take over for Jerry Jones?
And in the second round, they took Anthony Fasano. Who's he playing with now?
Miami, and he's a hell of a player.
Yeah. Well, what happened? What did they do? Cut him?
Traded him.
Okay. Well, here's a good one here, DeMarcus Ware. They hit the mother load with this one. That's a good pick in 2005. But, you know.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm sorry.
Before we take the break,
the team had drafted Quincy Carter.
What do the other owners in private, or maybe not, think of Jerry Jones?
They don't like him. I can tell you that flat out. They don't like him.
Is it because his ego is so huge?
They betrayed him. He doesn't play ball. He's not a partner.
All right. Well, like him or not, he engenders strong feelings one way or the other.
Sure, he does.
He's like a columnist for a newspaper.
Sure he does. I mean, he's a
you
maverick.
You pay attention.
He's a maverick.
He's
no
a maverick.
Question.
He's the modern day Al Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what
call.
He is.
Yeah. That's a good call.
You know, and Al Davis back in the 70s, Al Davis was considered a genius. You know, for what he was able to do with the Raiders, and not many people look at Jerry in that light. But from a business standpoint, he's second to none.
Oh yeah, what his results.
Yeah.
In terms of money, certainly show that. But now the bar's so high because that stadium is so big.
He's in a market that's flush with money. He's in a market that that is flush with oil money. Go to Cleveland. Go to Detroit and do this. Come to Jacksonville and try it.
It wouldn't work.
NFL teams in Washington and New York and Chicago and they haven't been able to do to the level that Jerry has done in Dallas.
I'm kind of interested to see the Rangers' impact with the World Series game there on Saturday night. You know, I mean, he's battled the Mavericks, who've had, 10 or 11 playoff seasons in a row in terms of attention. And now he's got the Rangers right across the street, essentially, who are garnering a lot of attention for the baseball. First time they've won. When was the last time they won a playoff game? In
Texas?
Yeah, they never, right?
Playoff game?
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, but before this season, never, right. That's
before this guy came into the league, we had a pool-to-revenue model that allowed small market teams to compete with big market teams. We are rapidly losing that model if we haven't lost it already. The concept of league think is gone.
Well, but he may have started it, but then you've got a lot of guys who've come in around it, too. Jeff Lurie and
Daniel
Kraft
Snyder
and
is definitely one of those.
Bob McNair.
Kraft plays ball. He's a big market guy, with some very capitalistic ideas.
He built in his end zone there.
You know, there's no question about it. The old Pete Rozelle model is definitely, leans towards socialism. I mean, it's pool the revenue. It's share the wealth.
Right.
But sure did work.
Yeah, well, it's, as you mentioned, with these owners now and the money they've put in to buy the teams, now all of them kind of come in with that. Look at Bob McNair in Dallas, or in Houston.
It's not working for the small markets, Brian.
No. Oh, that much is clear. And that's what Wayne has been arguing about. So let's take a break. We'll come back. More Jaguars this week, right after this, on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Have either one of you been to, by virtue of being through Dallas, seen this place we're going to on Sunday?
No, I haven't.
On TV,
yeah, it's all
known from watching film, but I mean, it looks just crazy. I mean, the place is, it's got to be the most popular sports venue, I would think. Maybe I don't say popular because, I mean, other ones have history behind them, but the most impressive sports venue maybe in the world. I can't think of any other. I mean, just from seeing what I've seen on TV.
I was just looking through the magazine today, it came as part of their media kit, and there was an ad. It's right here. And that video board is so big, it looks like I showed it to my wife, and I said, Jen, take a look at this. And she goes, well, they just blew that up so that you could.
Oh, no.
And I said, no, that's the real size.
That's it.
Wow, a video board. Wow, yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's the kind of thing that he does.
I mean, he's enhancing the game day experience. I think it's great.
That's what all these places
are
now.
What they're doing underneath that video board? How's that been going?
Not this year.
How's that product?
Yeah, it's not going on.
They've had more wins there than here in the last 3 years.
I'm not trying. All I'm saying is that.
How about this guy here? He's going to dog my butt for 2 hours.
Who, me?
Yeah,
I'm not dogging you. You I know you. But I mean,
I did. Hey, I knew that
the Cowboys in the last, you know, almost 3.5 years have won, what, 33, 34 games in the last 3.5 years. You know, that's not terrible. Last time I checked.
Okay. No, it's not. No, I understand. The team I cover doesn't, you know, can't be thrown stones. Yeah. And so maybe I shouldn't be throwing stones, but I am.
You're throwing big ones.
We do on this show.
You're throwing big ones.
We throw boulders. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6335. Let's get off the marketing side for just a moment and talk about the football side. No Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yeah.
Jeff, when you came in after watching the Dallas tape a couple hours ago, yeah, I said, what do you think of Romo? And you said, well, he'll make a scatterbrain mistake, but when he's on, he's on.
He's probably one of the best quarterbacks. First of all, he's got great pocket presence. I mean, he avoids rush. He can make things happen. He makes some dumb things. He, you know, kind of reminds me of a younger Brett Favre, and he can make things happen. But what he does better than I think Brett ever did is he does a great job of finding the underneath stuff, the dump offs. Kind of Tom Brady like, you know, to where he'll take 5 yards or whatever. But I mean, he is that offense, and I haven't done the numbers yet. But I mean, if you look at the production that he has added to the offense, I mean, he's been what, 3/4 of the offense, yeah. You know, and you lose a quarterback who accounted for 3/4 of the offensive output. I mean, that's a huge loss.
So here's my thing: how many teams can match up with those receivers that they put out there?
You wouldn't think many.
You wouldn't, and so that's where I get lost in this thing, because I watched Dez Bryant the other night, and John Gruden said, when you look at him, and by the way, this is what Joe D told me in the spring, he goes, when you look at this guy in the field, he's the best athlete, and he looks like the best football player that you've got. He's a man among boys. That punt return was, mm-hmm. It was impressive. So how is it that Miles Austin, who is a very good football player, and Dez Bryant, who is an outstanding football player.
And Jason Witten, who's an outstanding pass-catching tight end.
Exactly.
Roy Williams. The best in the league.
Yeah.
Roy Williams. You know,
so what the heck's wrong?
Overall.
And they don't have much of a running game.
They don't even try to run it for some reason. I don't understand why. They got some good backs. But the reason they've struggled is they really haven't been good as far as turning the ball over. I mean, prior to this last game, they were -5 in turnover differential.
Right.
They were tops in the league, one of the top teams in the league in penalties. Defensively, you know, they were good in overall defense, but they weren't good in the red zone. I mean, so they weren't doing a lot of the little things that you need to do to win. But, I mean, make no mistake, I mean, this is a talented football team with some fantastic football players.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you something. They got a game on their schedule at home on November 21st. That could end up being – it's a team right now with whom they are tied at 1-5, the Detroit Lions. It could be the ultimate embarrassment for them. If they don't beat the Jaguars this Sunday, I don't see them winning in Green Bay. I don't see them winning at the Giants. They've got tough sledding the rest of the way.
Grab a quick call before the news at the bottom of the hour. Rob is in Orange Park. Hello, Rob.
Hey guys, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
With regards to Jerry Jones, you know, like you guys were just saying, if they don't beat the Jaguars, they have trouble beating Green Bay and the Giants and moving in to play that other team that they're going to come up against, at least Jerry Jones will have the money to pay for a top-5 pick. The way the envelope that he's pushed as far as revenue, like Jeff had mentioned, it's been great for his large market partners. You know, the whole NFC East has been loving it, the Maras, the Snyders, the Lurias with those large market franchises, but he's really hurt his other partners. He's helped push the revenue envelope so much that the salary cap has increased so much that not this year, obviously, but it's gone to a point where smaller market franchises are paying a much greater percentage of their revenue in salary than the large market franchises are. And I think that's what he's done for the game. I appreciate it very much, guys.
Yeah, well, stay on the line. You're the Metro PCS caller of the week, and you'll receive a Jaguars prize pack. Remember, with no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been talking about
We understand that, and we all understand that. Yeah. But you know, there are a lot of things that Jerry has done for the league that has been great.
Well, and when you mention, I mean, the NFC East is all big market teams.
He's ultra-free markets. And that will work as long as he's in a league with Philadelphia and the New Yorks.
And he is.
There's also a lot of Cincinnati's and Indianapolis's. Green Bay's in that league, although Green Bay can compete with him just fine on their brand alone.
Absolutely.
All right, but there's a lot of small market franchises.
There's Jacksonville, Kansas City.
Sure.
Yeah, there's some places.
There's a lot of more of them.
San Diego, Cincinnati, Oakland.
There's a lot more small market teams than there are Dallas-type markets.
All right, we need a break. News is next. Rob, by the way, call back because Joe needs to get your information to send you the Jaguars prize pack for being the Metro PCS Caller of the Week. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. News is next.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars on the road this weekend in Dallas at Cowboys Stadium. We're all eager to get a look at that one. Talking about the Cowboys, let's go back to the Jaguars for just a minute and talk about David Garrard, who was cleared to practice yesterday, practiced today. Any word on how he was?
I mean, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I mean,
after practice?
Before practice. Before practice. I mean, there's nothing there. He's ready to go. It's not like it was a vicious hit or anything. The whole thing was
no, but on
was,
Monday
was
wasn't
different.
He talking about
so
how terrible
so
last week
speak.
Was?
What?
I mean, on Monday, was he not talking about how terrible last week was?
Yeah, he said he had a cloud, and he said it got better on Saturday. All of a sudden, sometime Saturday, the cloud went away.
You know, we've seen David as a backup and as a starter. We've seen him as a runner and as a pocket passer. We've seen him as a hero and a goat, but we've never seen him as
injured.
An injured quarterback.
No.
Yeah,
it's never.
No, he's as durable as they come.
38 straight starts, which isn't a lot compared to Brett Favre or Peyton Manning, but that was the club record before he missed last week.
Yeah, so you've got no history to kind of gauge how he's going to be this week.
Yeah.
David is, there's really no way to couch this. He is in the potentially final nine games of his career as the Jaguars starting quarterback if something doesn't improve. I mean, right. This team is not going to stand pat, if things continue to point down. They're obviously going to draft a quarterback next year, and they're not going to draft a guy in the sixth round to be. Right, that was regardless. I mean, if he was sitting on a 140 passer rating right now, they'd still be, projected to pick a quarterback next year. And I don't mean in the sixth round. A guy to just come in and deepen the roster. I mean, as good as the crop is supposed to be, it's almost certain that a guy will fit where they're picking and they're going to go for him.
First
or second round. I mean, you would expect that a guy would fit there, and they certainly have need. You know, some people now are projecting Ponder, who's got a shoulder or elbow or some kind of thing going on that's hurt him this year, saying he may be dropping into the second round. Oh, that would be wonderful. I mean, because this kid is not a second-round pick.
Right.
This is a guy, this is a big-time player who's got some kind of arm problem right now that's costing him some arm strength. So, I can't imagine that David would be surprised at what I'm saying. I mean, he expects.
No, his salary cap number as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen.
Let me turn around and give you a hypothetical question. What if Todd Bowman had thrown three touchdowns and one interception, and the Jaguars had won last week, would we be talking quarterback controversy this week?
Jeffrey? I was wondering that over the course of the broadcast.
I mean, maybe. Week.
The fans want it.
Yeah, I mean, you probably would. I mean, yeah,
you would have
controversy outside of the stadium. I don't think there's any doubt.
Well, I think that says enough. I mean, I think that explains the quarterback situation in Jacksonville long term.
See, whoever's in there, it's a caretaker situation because
exactly.
No one is young enough here to be able to put their flag in the ground and say, I'm the man for the future. I mean, David's not in that position. He's the man for now and the foreseeable future, you know, maybe the next few years. But he's nearing that point, you know, where you want to find a replacement for a guy in terms of age. He's nearing that point in age. So the Jaguars haven't drafted a quarterback since 2003. They've got to hit that position. They've got to hit it early. They've got to hit it often if the guy presents himself, if he's worthy of the pick, and they've got to move on. So he's in a position where he's playing, as you said, he's got a salary number that's got to be worked on.
More than $9 million.
And he needs to prove in these last nine games that it's worth working on it.
You know,
Jeff, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think either way it's going to get worked on.
Right. But, I mean, if he has a big final nine games, it makes you feel pretty good to work on it. Whereas, I mean, if he doesn't play well, you might say, screw it, don't it? You know, just let's move on.
We'll probably move on.
I think it's interesting that the Jaguars are holding four quarterbacks this week, and I think it has something to do with the fact that Dallas needs one.
Well, maybe.
You cut a Pat Ramsey, and he ends up there.
Maybe. I mean, what's going to be interesting to me is...
That's a good thought.
And he didn't disagree with
me. What's going to be interesting is what happens after this week, you know.
Yeah, they've got to back off after this week.
I mean, I just don't see them keeping four.
No. But this week, your opponent needs a quarterback.
Sure.
And you could bring in Pat Ramsey, who was here for a week.
Gentlemen, I would like to call to your attention the fact that we had a major news story here today.
Okay.
Derek Harvey has been benched in favor of Jeremy Mincy. Now this is classic, you know, hard charging, hard working, dedicated, energetic.
He's Brant Boyer Part Two.
Yeah, this is the classic, all attitude, pushing out the big talent and not enough attitude. This is a mile marker of sorts for this franchise right now because, you know, it's the ending point. It's the dead end for the Shaq Harris era. I mean, this is the end of the line. What this does is it takes the 08 draft. Is there anybody left from the 08 draft but Derek Harvey?
Nope, he's lost
and
one.
Now he's out of the starting lineup. We're talking about a draft. On the day of the draft, the Jaguars had 11 picks. That morning they had 11 picks. And they came out of it. Do you have the media guide? I think they came out of it with six picks.
They ended up with five players.
They started the morning with 11 picks, and they ended the draft with five players. And now the last of those players has been benched. I mean, the 2008 draft. If you want to point your finger at something that has caused this malaise the Jaguars find themselves in, point your finger right at the 2008 draft, because with 11 picks, that could have been the draft that the Jaguars used to rebuild themselves on the fly. Not a rebuilding project that meant having to go stagnant, to go stale for a few years. They could have used that draft to rebuild themselves on the fly while they stayed competitive.
That's the key to any franchise. You got to draft well.
And I know, Brian, when you pick up that, when you find that draft class in the media guide, would you read through it, please?
Yeah, 2008, Derek Harvey.
Jaguars traded up 20.
They gave up.
It went from 26 to 18.
They gave up.
Or 8, I mean.
They gave up two threes.
They went up 18 places.
Yeah.
They went up 18 places, switch picks, went up 18 places, and then also gave a two, a three, a two and two fours?
It was two threes and a four.
Two threes and a four.
Yeah.
All right, and then in the next round,
Quentin Groves
traded up for him.
Four or five spots, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And gave away a three and a four.
They didn't have any more threes. They gave away a six, and it looks like they gave away a four.
Okay.
Wait, no, you know what? Man, I don't know that.
Traded twos, and they gave up two more picks.
Yeah.
All right, so there's five picks gone in two players.
Yeah, and they thought that what they had done was solidify their pass rush for the long-term future, and 3 years later they're
brutal, gone. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's can't make those kind of mistakes.
And
if you do that, you got to hit a home run.
Which you'll see, and I know people don't think he's a great quarterback, and he's not a great quarterback, but he's a starting quarterback in the league. I'm talking about Chad Henne. He was available to them. Could have taken him there, all right? And that's at least a quarterback you can say you have drafted. Yeah. Who's a starter in the league today. You could have done it also in the first round with Joe Flacco. You see what I mean?
Yep.
This is, if you want to point your finger at something and say, this is what did it to this team, that's the most dramatic example of it you'll find.
We need a break. We'll take it now. More to come. Jaguars this week, right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get your Bueller Swiss Watch at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville. Robinson Jewelry Company up in Fernandina Beach. Faceted Rainbow over in Ocala. Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. And Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, Jaguars This Week from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, Florida. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Grab a call from the Lakeland area. Chris held through the break. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hey, you guys. I just had a quick comment about Adam Podlesch. I was wondering if this, in the spirit of team effort, if maybe the editor, the senior editor of JacksonvilleJaguars.com could review their scripts, because Adam Podlesch just said, hey, kids, are you having a problem starting a conversation about having sex with your parents?
Huh?
That's what he actually said in the ad copy was, hey, kids, are you having problems starting a conversation about sex with your parents?
He means you having trouble talking to your parents about having sex. I never talked to my parents about that kind of stuff.
You know what?
Let's just did it.
Let's not blame Podlesch.
I'm just teasing.
I just thought the senior editor could help him out.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You got a misplaced modifier in there. Yeah, we need to turn that prepositional phrase around a little bit.
Thanks, guys. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, you get what he means, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, exactly what he meant. I just couldn't imagine why he would blame Podlesch for that.
Yeah.
We'll see. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We've been talking about the Cowboys, Tony Romo, the fact they don't run the ball, the wide receivers.
There's a lot to talk about this team.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah, we need to turn it around over here.
Defensively, man, they got to get it going.
Can they?
Talk to me, Jeff. Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, along the same lines of the question you asked me to go back and watch the tape, did they quit prior to the Kansas City game?
We're talking about the final drive of the Titans in the Monday night game, 80 yards, 9 plays, all runs.
Mm-hmm.
Did they quit?
No.
Okay.
Because if you looked at the Kansas City game, you could probably get the same impression, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with defense, if one guy grossly disregards his responsibility,
mm-hmm.
it can be a major problem. I'll give you the example that I diagrammed while you were on the radio Monday night. The 70-yard run by Thomas Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Derek Harvey, the left defensive end, who has now been benched.
Mm-hmm.
When he has a guy coming back to him, if he were to play that block underneath and to bounce Thomas Jones to the outside, there's a safety there and there's a corner there to make the play. But when he doesn't go underneath and make it bounce, he stayed outside thinking, well, it could be a bootleg, but that's not his responsibility. At that point, he plays bootleg late. Then, so Rasheen could have made a tackle, Courtney Green could have made a tackle. And because he doesn't, he goes up the field. Now Rasheen is sitting in the outside waiting to make a tackle. Courtney Green is spilling to the outside waiting to make a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And so now their angles are all messed up. And so the play looks terrible, and it gains 70 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's how defense can be sometimes. And some of the other big runs, Don Carey, had a misfit. Justin Durant had a misfit on another play. And because they didn't fill where they were supposed to, you got huge lanes for the Kansas City Chiefs running backs to run through.
So let me ask you about Derek Carr, because as I said, this is the big story of the day. After 26 consecutive starts, I think it's 26, and a huge investment in him.
Well, here's the thing.
He's on a bench. What's it mean?
Here's the important thing. He's played every game in his career. So he's had he had missed none with injury. He's been durable.
He was handed the job.
So he's had plenty of time to get repetitions. In my opinion, I thought it should have happened a couple weeks ago. I thought Jeremy Mincy was outplaying him, and I said it.
Mm-hmm.
I said it.
Mm-hmm.
Many times I thought Jeremy was playing better. Jeremy plays with, I think, more awareness. He plays with a better motor, and he impacts the passer more than Derek does. You know, so this isn't a surprise. You know, that to me, when I heard it today, I was like,
okay. Well, now,
why not last week?
With all due respect to Jeremy Mincy, they did draft four defensive linemen this year, two of whom are Austin Lane and Larry Hart, defensive ends. And, of course, they got Aaron Morgan, who's an undrafted guy they like. But Austin Lane was the guy who was supposed to push Derek Harvey, not Jeremy Mincy. Lane was supposed to be.
He's supposed to push anybody for playing time.
Okay. Is there any chance that Lane can step up?
You know, here's the thing, Vic. What happened to the old earn it?
Mm-hmm.
Earn the play time, right?
Long gone.
You know, and that's the one problem with the draft and the way the salaries have become just way out of control with draft picks. You know, they're putting them right into play. You know, back in the day, and I'm not saying just my day. I mean, before that and even, I guess, kind of after when I came in is when it kind of started to happen more so. But if you were a high pick, you weren't automatically given a job. You know, but the money is almost pushing these guys into mm-hmm. playing, you know, right away. And so with Austin Lane and Larry Hart, you know, let them earn their reps. You know, when Austin Lane earns it, then he should play.
Before we break for news, what's the big picture here with Derek Harvey? Is he inactive on Sunday from this point
forward? Well, that's a very good question.
Do they save him and try to trade him in the spring, or do they cut him at some point?
The story is up on Jaguars.com, folks, if you'd like to read it. I wrote it just before I got on the air. I interviewed Joe Cullen late this afternoon after practice, and he was very forthcoming with information.
Hey, when Derek shows that he's improved and he earns more play time on the practice field, then he needs to play.
Well, I asked Joe point blank, is there a chance that he could be deactivated on Sunday? And he said, yes, there's that chance. The decision will be made as to who to activate and who to deactivate based on how they practice this week, and that decision will be made on Friday.
All right, folks, we need a break for news here at the top of the hour. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. That means your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. More to come after the news on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
You can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Hour 2, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, Sexton, Logan, and Catchman. Do you want to share with the audience your observation about tortilla chips? I thought it was
interesting. I was just telling Joe, I was a bit of trivia, that the next time you're out having a
Mexican
pitcher
food.
Of beer with the wife at a Mexican restaurant, when you break a tortilla chip or nacho, what am I?
It's a chip. A chip.
Either one.
When you break one of those, take a look at the two pieces you have. You always get either South Carolina or Idaho. You can't make any other kind of state. Every once in a while, you'll get a Rhode Island when you get a small one. But usually when you break them, you get South Carolina or Idaho. Just watch. I'm telling you.
I've had California.
Really?
Were you dipping in blue guacamole?
Because if you get a long... Yeah.
But tell me, the next report back, I think you'll see it's either South Carolina or Idaho.
Thank you, Victor. Thank you.
The esoteric things you find on this show, ladies and gentlemen. 355-NFL-1. Looking at my Twitter page here and following different guys, a buddy of mine who follows the Cowboys says that he's getting a strong feeling that guards Kyle Kozier and Montre Holland will not play this week.
Kozier has an ankle/Achilles strain, and he had a knee earlier in the year. He didn't even play last week. He came out of the game against Minnesota before the half, I believe. And then Montre Holland had a groin against the Giants Monday. They inserted a rookie guard, Costa?
Phil Costa, right.
Yeah, from Maryland. And he got whooped one time for a sack, but he was all right. He's, you know, he plays hard. But, I mean, that's, you know, they don't have a whole lot of guards past that. No. That's it.
But they don't run the ball very much. So what do you need him for, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if the tackle backups that they have can play guard or not, but, you know, obviously
Alex Barron is one of them.
Finding somebody that's going to be able to do that. By the way, the Jaguars did sign an offensive lineman. Was it yesterday?
Eric Pierce
to take the spot vacated by Eben.
I wish the Cowboys hadn't traded up and drafted Sean Lee, because the Jaguars would have done it, and they could sure use him.
And he might be in the lineup this week.
Yeah, but, I mean, could have been in the lineup all year. You don't know. I mean, Justin Durant's been kind of up and down. He's been hurt. You know, Sean Lee could have been in the lineup, but then –
I mean, they're
talking
you
get
about
back to that thing, you would have had to give up some picks because you didn't have a second-round pick.
They had the deal done. I mean, they were – the Cowboys got the deal done just ahead of the Jaguars. The Eagles were going to do it with the Jaguars, and then the Cowboys offered more. I mean, they were in position to do the deal. Lee would have been a middle backer here, right? Yeah, he'd have been the middle linebacker.
And they're talking about him getting more playing time because Keith Brooking.
He plays quite a bit anyway. When they go to their, I don't want to say quite a bit, he plays a little bit for them. Well, they actually go, their short yardage package has four, I call them four down because I consider Spencer and DeMarcus Ware as down linemen, and then they bring in Sean Lee with the other two inside backers. So, I mean, he's been playing quite a bit.
Folks, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins, including Joe Fortunato at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after a winning game. And all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Let's go to the phone for the first time in hour number two. We'll start with Gary down on the south side. Gary, we welcome you to the show.
Hey, Brian. Just had a quick question. Any of you feel free to answer. Really a comment and a question. I guess my question is if the season keeps going on a downward spiral and, you know, we don't win that many more games, Is it a situation where does Jack at that time needs to go, or would you think, or do you think it would be a situation where, kind of like with Coughlin, where after 3 years of going 6-10, 7-9, 7-9, the fans were clamoring for, okay, get Coughlin out of here, let's get a new coach. But then when it came, but really when you kind of look at it now, it was more of a talent issue. So that when Coughlin went to the Giants, and he was able to have talent there and accumulate talent through good draft picks, and then eventually win a Super Bowl. I guess my whole thing is
just
I guess what my question is that is it a situation where does Del Rio deserve to have another couple of years until Gene's able to fix the mess that Shaq has messed up over the last couple of years? Even if the Jaguars do wind up going, let's say 5-10 or, you know, 6-10 or, you know, 5-11.
Well, if you're asking, does he deserve an extension? Well, first of all, he doesn't need an extension.
He's got two more years.
He's got two or three.
He's got two after this year.
Okay, he's got two more years after this one. If you're asking, does he deserve the chance to complete that contract? I think that's a fair question. And my answer would be that I think we need to see where the rest of the season goes. Yeah. What we have right now is a lynch mob that is waiting out back on their horses, and they want to do it now. All right, they want to go to the tree, the nearest tree now, and I'm against that. I'm against that because I don't think anything is accomplished other than just, you know, I'm angry and it feels good. My opinion on this is wait till the end of the year and see how it goes. I remember a team once that was 4-7. And they wanted to lynch the coach. And they went to the AFC title game. And you know what? Eventually they did lynch the coach. And they regret it now, don't they?
You know, the thing that strikes me is...
pretty good coach, huh?
If you watched him Monday night,
Pretty
he
good
was tremendous.
Coach. Screwed that one up.
Yeah, you know, my sense is this, is that the owner would really like to have continuity with his coach. I mean, he could have made this move in January, I mean, if he really wanted to make this move. Mm-hmm. But didn't you and I have this conversation 8 or 9 years ago that the league really wanted was owners to find their coach and stick with him?
Because absolutely.
In an era of player free agency, it is the coach that becomes the defining.
He's the face of the franchise.
Exactly.
He's the identity.
And I think Wayne took that to heart. Plus, obviously, there's financial.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the hired or fired method doesn't work. And this team had given the coach a 5-year deal after the 2007 season.
A small revenue team.
You just can't, you know, start writing checks to several coaches at the same time, and you just can't do that.
But if you just go back and read Wayne's comments, remember when he said it's been average, average isn't good enough for a team that needs to sell tickets, I think the outcome is clear if this team doesn't.
Well, here's what's clear, and I'm going to fall on the sword, so to speak, here to help you guys out. I'm going to go it alone on this. So I mean, if you want to chime in,
sure,
go ahead. But it's real simple. The day after last season ended, the coach stood up at his season in review press conference, and he, in announcing that the expectation was to make the playoffs, he
win
told
division.
You. No, that didn't come until March when I did that fan forum with Jack
in this
studio.
Okay.
But on the day after last season ended on a terrible note, you know, getting hammered in Cleveland.
Four in a row.
The day after the season ended, he knew there was no avoiding it. He knew there was no escaping it. Jack Del Rio stood up in front of the media in his season in review and said boldly, and volunteered it, wasn't even asked, the expectation for next year is to make the playoffs. At that moment, we knew what he was saying. What he was saying was, if I don't make the playoffs next season, I know I'm going to be fired.
Right.
That's what he was saying. So
just wait.
Just wait. Why do we have to? We know what we got here.
Right.
We don't have to pile on. We don't have to beat anybody up. We understand what it is.
Yeah. And the owner went ahead and said, average doesn't cut it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we got all we need to know.
You just have to see how it turns out. Hold on the line. Gary, you've just won 20 Jaguars scratch-off tickets from the Florida Lottery to play the Jaguars scratch-off game. Visit a Florida Lottery retailer near you. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. Rolling right along here. Let's break. More to come. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now back to Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This is Sports Mania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, a limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Texans game. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. Hey, the coach, by the way, is not immune to it. I mean, he hears it. He knows exactly.
He knows.
It's part of the gig. And he and I had this conversation not long ago, and that is when you make $5 million as a football coach, you are subject to talk radio callers, people that frequent message boards on the Internet, or say things to your children at school. It comes with the territory, and he knows it.
Yeah, but the last part's
That's the part that he was lamenting when we were talking about.
I just don't like the piling on. That's the part we don't need to do that. We know where this is, and we certainly know that he knows where this is, and we don't need to pile on.
It's pretty rare that you see coaches fired midseason anyway. Doesn't happen.
It's an interesting game this week because you got Wade Phillips, you know, and the expectations were Super Bowl. You know, they had hosting a Super Bowl in Dallas, and everybody said, oh, Dallas is going to be the first team to actually play a Super Bowl in the host city.
Oh, you know, Jerry Jones.
You know,
that.
They're 1-5, and Jaguars, you know, are.
The crazy thing is, though, Jeff, there's this perception that when these guys get fired, then they're going to have to go to the soup kitchen to get food for their family. That's not the way it is. They are going to continue to get a lot of money.
Yes. They're guaranteed.
Life will continue to be good. So don't feel like you're going to get your pound of flesh, folks.
Three,
You know, don't feel like you're going to get him. He's going to get you.
NFL one. Let's grab Clay in Riverside on that piece of wisdom. Hello, Clay. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Yeah, looking forward to an interesting game in Dallas this weekend, like y'all said. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about an interesting quote I saw in the paper on Saturday from Mike Sims-Walker talking about Todd Bowman. Mm-hmm. It was something along the lines of, quote, "There are no dummy routes with Todd.
Yeah,
you never know when the ball is going to come your way with him."
Yep.
And I saw that as a pretty thinly veiled criticism of our starting quarterback from our number one wide receiver.
That's another way of saying there are dummy routes and you know the ball isn't coming your way with the other guy, isn't it?
That's how I take it.
That's how I would take it if I was the other guy.
Yeah, for sure. And you know we saw it.
Yeah, and then did you see how much more animated Mike was in the game?
I had my head down
It's like he was excited, mm-hmm. you know, about having Todd. And if you go back and you think of the I'm trying to think of the game. I believe it was Tennessee in which it wasn't Tennessee. It was a game in which David threw a ball to Mike, and Mike scored. And David went to go, like, congratulate him, and Mike just kind of...
Really? I never saw that. What game would that have been? Buffalo.
Yeah, I think it was Buffalo.
Yeah, he got four balls in one drive and no balls in the other drive.
Yeah, and then it wasn't it wasn't like a... A very glowing meet and greet, you know. It was kind of icy.
And they dress next to each other. Their lockers are next to each other. They're supposed to be the, you know, the power passing combination of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, that turned out well, didn't it?
It was just kind of strange.
I think if I was Garrard, I'd move my locker. This guy just ripped me. I want out of here.
Excellent observation, Clay. We certainly appreciate it. We move right along. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Anthony in San Diego, California. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thank you. One of the things I was wanted to say was I think a lot of the fans have misplaced expectations for the team. We have three first-year starters in the secondary, and then we have basically a wide receiver core that's full of second-year guys because Mike Sims-Walker last year was his first year to stay healthy. And so I think when you add up all the new pieces that we have on offense and defense and the lack of experience that we have, I think a lot of people are expecting these guys to play like Pro Bowlers and veterans when they've barely cut their teeth in the NFL.
Nope.
And one of the things that I'm dying to know is I wonder what Gene Smith's grade was on O.J. Ataugwe, because that guy was on the street and he looks like he's playing pretty well for the
he really wasn't on the street. That was a weird procedural situation that the Rams created, and they created it for the purpose of being able to retain him. So we went through this last spring, and I don't want to have to go back through it again because it involved a lot of red tape kind of stuff. But they worked it they worked it the right way.
But I just think that a lot of people have misplaced aggression because we have a rookie and a first-year player defensive tackle, three new guys in the secondary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
two
not three
new guys in the offensive line.
Whoa! It's not three new guys in the secondary now. I mean, Derek Cox and Rasheen were there last year. Mm-hmm. The safety positions are new, and hey, look, I don't expect all of a sudden them to come out and to look like the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you know, the simple fact is, Anthony, is that when you lose by 25 and 25 and 27 and what was the last one?
22.
Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. You know, nor should it, you know, should people feel like that's good enough. Nor should the locker room feel like that's good enough, or should the coaching staff. I mean, that's not good enough. You know, so it's not okay. You know, and it's not okay to say, well, we've got this guy playing and that guy playing, he's getting experience. You got to get better, you know, and you can't have games like that to where you're not in the game. You know, you put
right.
a bunch of them together, mm-hmm. you know, then heads roll.
Yeah.
That's the way the NFL is.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, you're coming off 3-2, and you got a game at home. against your rival, and it's prime time. And I mean, I gotta believe that your hair's on fire for this game, and that's what you get. It doesn't make any sense.
355 NFL one. Let's grab Andrew in Mandarin. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen of football, how are we guys doing today?
Good.
I'm going to change pace up a little bit here and just say we got to step up as a city and buy the remaining of these tickets the last four home games. I know we're 3-4, but you know, it's just one of those things where we just got to support this team regardless of how the outcome is. And I know we've had some crappy games here and there, and you know, we've had some really good games, and we witnessed one of them a few weeks back.
Well, here's a guy that has cut to the heart of the matter. I mean, you know, we're talking about all these other issues involving a team that, frankly, isn't likely to make the playoffs, and we're kind of beating a dead horse.
Right.
But the horse this guy's beating is the lead horse. The tickets that are remaining for the last four home games of the year are a large amount. They are a staggeringly high number. I think they have something coming up here for the Houston game, Military Appreciation
yep.
Day. So I think the fans are going to get some help again by some kind of, you know, tricked up thing.
Browns, Raiders, Redskins have always been
those ones are in
crucial.
Deep, deep jeopardy of being blacked out. And massive unsold tickets. It would be tragic for the last three games of the year to be the lasting impression or perception of 2010, after so much was done by Team Teal in the offseason, after such a glorious start to the season against Denver and then Indianapolis. You know, and it was good here for Monday night too. I mean, for the season to end on the weakness of three badly attended home games would be a disaster.
Well, and hey, Vic, you know, the crazy part is, I mean, a lot of the feel and the talk is so down on the team. The reality is, if all of a sudden you get hot, you're 3-4 right now. Right?
Yeah, what do you mean? You mean, could you get back in the race?
Why not?
Absolutely.
Why not?
But do you see evidence that would suggest that's going to happen?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that it's not going
to
happen.
But here's the thing, Jeff. Here's my thing. I can't lie to these people. I got to tell them what I see.
I'm not lying to them.
All off season long, in my opinion, we built unrealistic expectations. I didn't like doing it. I didn't like writing it down. I didn't even like quoting it because I didn't believe it. And, you know, and I felt like people were getting excited, and I'm thinking to myself, doggone it, we're going to disappoint them again.
What were your expectations?
My expectations were to be competitive, which too many times I haven't been, and you've hit on that, and I'm with you. My expectations were be competitive and improve. And if you could somehow be a playoff contender in December, that would be great. But I said it over and over, and I've never changed my message. I've stayed on message all along. This is rebuilding, and they're still in it.
Would a win in Dallas on Sunday be impressive for this team, or would it be a win over a team that's down 1-6?
It would help sell tickets, and that's most important.
Yeah. I think it'd be an impressive win for this team.
Absolutely.
Because I think the Dallas Cowboys have some very good football players. I still believe they're a talented team. And most importantly, you never have a problem winning doesn't solve.
All right. Let's take a break. News is
next, right.
And we've got callers on the line. If you're with us, stay with us. If you're not, call us back after the news, and we'll roll through the final half hour of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com and see how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House car care centers. The Parts House is the official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sexton, Lagerman, Ketchman with you here, Jaguars, this week. Don't forget, we kick things off on WOKV Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Jaguars pregame 11, kickoff at 1 Eastern time. Edna Big Halftime Show, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, and Southern Ford Dealer Show. All right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Did you have a thought before we go to the phone lines?
No.
I'm sorry, I thought you did. Let's grab Rogers, who joins us from Mandarin. Hello. Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I got a simple question. I just want to know, what is wrong with the secondary? Is it a lack of coaching, or is it a lack of talent, or what?
I think clearly they have to get more talent is the first step, because a lot of times talent makes up for a lot of bad coaching. Not saying that there's been bad coaching, but the coaching has to be better, because I think there's been certain situations to where one guy didn't know what the other guy was doing. Therefore, we have the Dwayne Bowe touchdown play in Kansas City. Coaching needs to be better in that instance. What would have been great this year is if you had Rasheen Mathis return to his old form, which hasn't happened, and Derek Cox built on his form right from last year. Hasn't happened. So is it coaching? Is it players? Is it both? It's always a combination of the two. It can be better in both categories.
The thing that is sabotaging the intent to show progress in this second year of the rebuilding project is the fact that the Jaguars have some major voids, some major gaps in their lineup. And, of course, we knew going into the year that safety was the greatest offender. They just have this enormous two-man hole in the roster. Now, there is some hope that Courtney Green, from what I understand, there's the possibility that Courtney Green could solve one of those problem areas, strong safety. There's a chance he might be the long-term fix. Don Carey's got to play much, much better to fit into that category.
Yeah, he didn't do very much in Kansas City.
Poor guy. He whiffed twice on the same play. You know,
he whiffed twice on the same play, and then there was a couple run fits that he didn't do very well.
All right. Give him more time for a start. Give him more time.
And all spring he was playing corner.
That's right. So let's give him more time. But one of the reasons it's looking bad right now is because they've got these major gaps. And they've got him on offense, too. The interior line play hasn't been great. I'll give you an example. On a play in Sunday's game, early in the game, Uche Nwaneri whiffed. He was pulling out to the left, and he whiffed on his guy, and the guy came free.
Yeah. Tom Mahaly came in with speed.
And then he tackled Tyrese Jones-Drew for a loss.
I will say that Uche has been playing very well.
Okay, but you can't have whiffs.
No, I know.
That's a gap.
That's also a great player on the other side of the ball.
Okay.
I mean, Tom Mahaly's are allowed to make a play here or there. But Uche's been playing very well. Meester's been playing very well. Justin Smiley, when he was in there, was playing very well. And Vince is not living up to that level that Justin was playing at. So I don't know what will happen with Justin this week. I don't know.
So what, you know, going into the year, what were the three major concerns? Safety, linebacker, and the interior of the offensive line. And we were right.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
355-NFL-1, we certainly appreciate the call. Let's grab Nick out at the beach, who's been holding.
Yeah, but you know, you just said safety.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say secondary.
No, the corner play. No, you're right. The corner play has not been good. Give Derek Cox some time. I mean, this guy he's right now lost in space. I mean, he doesn't know if he's coming or gone. I mean, he got into the coach's doghouse. He wants to get out of it. That puts you in a position where you got pressure on you, and you feel like you can't take. You better not jump a route, because if you don't get it, you know, you're back in the doghouse.
What about Rasheen?
I don't have answers on that. You know, players get old. It happens. And it doesn't have to be a chronological age thing. I mean, you can tweak your hamstring and your groin.
He does look like he's gotten old.
Yeah. There are some indications.
But, you know, I mean, eighth year? Prime. Supposed to be prime.
No, no, but he had that serious, was it quad?
Groin.
Groin.
Groin? Okay. He had a serious groin injury. I mean, that can make you old early.
Well, the way he's playing right now, and I know he wanted the contract redone.
But it's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
No. What do you do now? I mean, do you have anyone to help out?
Where?
I mean, in his position, you got to wait to the draft.
That's the hard part. Is that, you know, gosh, I mean, you really, you know, you don't want to have this happen, because then it's another area that needs addressing. I mean, you want the players that you have that are playing well to play well for a while, and Rasheen's play. I mean, to be honest with you, it's fallen off a step the last 3 years.
I mean, the pass defense has been bad since the beginning of the year. It's 27th now. And the only reason it's not 29th is because the Chiefs ran the ball last week. I mean, if they wanted to, they could have thrown it. They threw 18 passes. They threw six passes in the first half. And you still gave up almost 200 yards passing. So, I mean, you've got this major hole. And, you know, people say front seven. You really don't even have a front seven. You got a front four, maybe a front three.
I got a tweet asking me to ask you to evaluate the linebackers. And since Vic just went there, go there.
I think Darryl and Kirk have been pretty decent. The other linebacker position, whether it had been Justin or Russell Allen, hasn't been all that great.
GM Gene said on the Monday show that the linebacking wasn't very good in the Kansas City game.
No, it wasn't great. But, I mean, you know, I'm talking overall. I'm not talking in Kansas City. I'm talking about all of the games this year. Kirk and Darryl have been okay. But you expect those two guys to be better than okay. And the other linebacking spot has not been okay. It's got to have more production. So, you know, hey, look, when the defense is where it's at right now, which is ranked 30th in the league, you know, there's a lot to share amongst all the positions.
Yeah, they weren't crazy for moving up to draft Sean Lee for no reason. I mean, they knew that they liked him and they had need.
You know, on the bright end, Tyson Alualu, who I know he played that game hurt. He had that big knee brace on.
He dragged his leg.
Yeah, he was dragging around a little bit, you know, but he did okay. Did he do great? No, he didn't do great. But I thought Terrence Knighton was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Campman was pretty good. And I thought Alualu was okay.
Was Mincy okay when he came in for Harvey, or did he struggle too?
No, he was okay.
So it was just Derek Harvey in the beginning.
Yeah.
How was Mincy against the run?
Mincy plays hard. I mean, that's one thing Mincy plays like Spicer. You know, 100% every play is going to give you great energy. He certainly is giving you more pass rush than Derek. But he gives you energy.
It's a good analogy.
You know, give me energy every time, and you can make up for a lot of, you know, I guess, voids and talent. And, I mean, is Jeremy the most talented guy in the world? No. Does he have enough talent to be effective? Sure he does. But he actually plays, I think, above his talent level because he's got such a great motor and he plays with such great energy.
We're stacked with calls. Let's get one before we break here. And it's Nick, who I had up for just a second, and now we bring it back up. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Just got a question about finance here a little bit. With the NFL, the players' union, and the referees' officiating union, who gets the greatest percentage of the money on Sunday from Las Vegas?
Oh, that's I mean, come on.
What are you talking
about? Come on. No, I know what he's talking about. Come on. You come on the air to do that. Come on. He's suggesting that there's cheating going on, that the games are fixed.
We waited all that time for you.
Is that not what he's suggesting?
Yeah, no, it was. So let's do this. Let's break for news here. Won't even dignify that. No, not news. No, just final break. And then we'll come back and wrap up Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
About 10 minutes left in this fine radio program, and then we will bid you adieu until Sunday morning when we start things off with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show from Cowboy Stadium. Riders at Dallas Cowboy Stadium, Loggy. Joe says Dallas Cowboy Stadium. We'll call it Cowboy Stadium for short. 10 a.m. for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. 11 a.m. staying Eastern Time, even though we're going to the Central Time Zone. Jaguars pregame show, kickoff at 1, followed by the Aetna halftime show and the Winn-Dixie postgame show and Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Dallas, a team in disarray without their quarterback. Their offensive line is pieced together. This is really a matter of individuals for that team coming up and playing to their potential, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to watch how they're going to block maybe one of the most dominant pass rushers in the league and DeMarcus Ware. I mean, the guy's fantastic.
He's good.
He's fantastic, and no matter whether it's Eugene Monroe or, you know, Jordan Black at right tackle, which it looks like that's going to be who it's going to be.
Mercedes Lewis.
You know, I mean, they're going to have to give him some help, you know. He is, I think, today's greatest pass rusher, better than Freeney.
Why? Because you think a lot of Freeney.
He's more complete. He can do speed. He can do power. He can react, where Freeney's kind of one of those guys that – it's kind of all or nothing. Not so much like Derek Thomas, because Derek Thomas sometimes, you know, is just lights out.
But he was 7 sacks against Seattle and then 3 weeks in a row with nothing.
Yeah, and Freeney's a guy that if he gets you with speed, you're in trouble. But when he gets on grass, he slows down. Ware can do it on grass, on turf, on concrete, it doesn't matter. He's exceptional. Nobody can block him.
He was taken at. Was he taken before or after? Sean Merriman was 11th, right, to San Diego?
Merriman was after.
Oh, was he after? Okay.
Yeah, he was after.
I forget. It was 13-14 or 12-13. Ware was the 13th pick in that draft.
Ware was. Merriman was.
He was 14th. It was right after. They went right after.
Merriman was the second one. I know that. But he's fun to watch.
Let's grab a couple of phone calls here. Let's go with Ruben on the west side. Ruben, welcome to the program.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
I heard y'all talking a little while ago, talking about the possibility of, you know, the games being blacked out possibly after the Texans game. And, you know, the big thing is right now is the fans have stepped up. I'm a season ticket holder, so I'll go to every game. But a lot of these people are just tired of seeing this type of product. They want to see competitive product. If you win, that's great. But if you lose by 3 points, 7 points, as long as you're competitive, they'll settle for that. But, you know, you
that's
can't blame the fans if they don't want to come to this game with the Cleveland Browns or some of these other games coming up after the Texans, because it's the team that has to step up.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't agree with you. I don't think they'll settle for that. And I'll use 2002 as an example. I think the Jaguars lost 5 games that year by like 7 points. The Jaguars have never been more competitive than they were in 2002. They lost a game here to the Steelers by a point when they didn't even have a penalty the whole game. And in fact, the next week they lost a game to Cleveland on a Hail Mary pass, the last play of the game, and I don't think they had a penalty in that game either.
Yeah.
And what did it result in?
You know,
the fans got Tom Coughlin fired.
That was a bit of a different year.
But he said as long as it's competitive, they'll be okay. They'll settle for that. No, I don't agree. I don't think they will. Well, I think they got a win here.
No, but I understand what they want.
I agree that he's saying should be the case.
Yeah, right.
All right, but I don't think they will settle for that because they didn't settle for that in 2002.
It was a different scenario in 2002.
What do you mean it was
different? You didn't have my team, Teal. You didn't have people out there who stepped up to the plate and were doing it in the idea.
Yeah, Winn-Dixie.
Different thing altogether.
They were free. The tickets were free.
But this year you had people paying for tickets.
Okay.
You had people out in the street, out in the neighborhoods, buying and selling tickets. And I think that if you had a competitive product, the civic pride factor that got my team Teal up and off the ground would still be in effect. I think that would happen, and I think it's different than 2002.
Do we have a media guide in this room?
What do you need that for?
I want to go back to 2002 while you guys talk, and tell you how competitive.
I'm just saying the climate was.
What a great
I'm not
job.
Saying it wasn't competitive.
One of the best coaching jobs.
But I mean, you can go back and talk about that, but I mean, I understand, you know, where Ruben's coming from, and that, hey, people want to see competitive game. And I'm okay with that.
And I think if you were competitive this year, you would have people buying tickets, which didn't happen in 2002 because it's a different world this year.
But
it was
a civic thing
this year that got people up and moving.
I understand that there will always be, I guess, potential ticket buyers that are on the fence. And I understand that. And that people want to go and see, you know, when they're competitive, when they win. I understand that. But there also has to be a segment that is just, this is my team and I'm there no matter what.
Okay, I just counted it up. They had five losses in 02 by 3 points or fewer.
I understand that. I also understand it was at the very end of the Tom Coughlin regime.
This was last year.
Right, and we knew that they were going to stink for a long time. And what we really have been selling here in Jacksonville is step up, Gene's rebuilding the thing, watch this thing go, and that was what my team Teal was about. What I'm saying is I think if you were competitive, I think people still would. They would respond to it because they know they have to now. 2002, there was no threat of losing your team.
Yeah, I know. I think you know what I'm saying. The guy was a good coach, and we knew that too. And right. His team was competitive,
right.
And he was rebuilding.
Well, he was talking about tickets. You're talking about a coach.
No, he's talking about the fans. He said the fans would settle for that, and I'm saying they didn't settle for that in 02. And if they had, Tom Coughlin would still be the coach.
And what I'm arguing is, and I can't prove it, but what I'm arguing is that if it was competitive this year, they might settle for it based on the way that they
bought tickets. No, I'm not buying that either. I mean, there was an expectation on this year to make the playoffs or bust. If Jack Del Rio didn't make the playoffs, he was going to be fired. He knew it. The fans absolutely would have demanded it.
I still think that people would buy tickets because I know what the climate is out there this year.
Yeah.
355-NFL-1.
I agree with Brian Vick.
Ray joins us from St. Mary's. You might
guys
like
guys always gang up on me.
Stop.
Ray,
what's going on?
I agree with you, Jeff. I mean, you hit it right up. Both of y'all hit it right on the nose on that.
And so does Ray, too, Vic. So does Ray, too.
they just want to see a competitive product out there. That's the only thing there.
That's a bunch of crap. I mean, that is the biggest self-serving pile of poop I ever heard in my life.
You're entitled to your opinion, and I'm just speaking from a fan's point of view.
Give it to him, Ray.
You have 2 minutes right before the music is on.
You're inside. You see stuff differently. But, I mean, this year people wanted to see Derek Cox turn into that, you know what I'm saying, a possible shutdown corner because he had a promising rookie year. Terrence Knight, he had a good year. Everybody was expecting for Derek Harvin. But when you don't have this knowledge, the fans are like, oh, my goodness, here we go again. But I agree with you, too. We need to step up and buy tickets. I'm going to be there, so it doesn't make no difference to me. My thing is, why is Rasheed Matthews getting a pass? It seems like nobody want to say how bad he's been playing. He's been playing horrible.
We did 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I know that you did, but it was just like, oh, okay. But, I mean, he's been whiffing on tackles, letting guys get behind him. Here it is, it's third and three, and he's 12 yards off the ball. The guy catches slant first down.
Who hasn't ripped him? Name me anybody who hasn't ripped him. The guy's been under fire for...
I mean, you've been kind of babying him.
It's been a fun show, folks. I wish you could be here. All right,
I saw you out there campaigning for a new contract.
Let's grab Mac, and then the show is over, Vic. Mac joins us from the north side. Mac, wrap us up.
I'll make it real quick. I know y'all did. Thanks to my wife and her blessings and approval, I'm going to the Cowboys game.
Sweet.
Jaguars game.
Do you, by the way, have you seen that fan? Thanks, Mac. Have you seen that fan index that's out this year?
You called to tell us that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Have you seen the cost index? They put it together the last couple of years, and it's what it costs a family of four.
That's crazy in that.
What?
To go to the game.
You're the worst.
Can I finish this
thought? The guy's excited. He's gone to the Cowboys game. You're like, you're going to tell us that?
Everybody pile on Vic.
Wait, I'll have a message when this Vic, at the end of this show.
Hey, Vic.
I'd like to read a statement.
Vic, you've been kind of salty today.
Did you see the cost index of what it cost?
Did somebody urinate in your Wheaties this morning?
Do you have that?
Dog might have.
No, we don't have time.
He's urinated on everything else in the house.
Holy cow.
It's three times as expensive for a family of four to go to
the glasses
stadium in Dallas as it is to go to a game here in Jacksonville.
Is that right?
Three
times. Oh, yeah.
Three times. They factor in four tickets, parking, food and beverage for four people, souvenirs for four people, and it is three times as expensive to go to Dallas.
It's like $600.
No, it's more than $800.
Okay,
it's like three here, okay. And it's almost nine there. Come on. No, it is. Joe's got it.
What?
Joe's got it.
That's
for a family of four to go an afternoon in Dallas is almost $900. So, folks.
Not my family.
You get the NFL.
Tell you that.
The same product at a lot less price. We'll see you when the Jaguars play the Texans and the Browns and the Raiders and the Redskins. Do it for me so we can shut them up. Just kidding, Vic. We'll have a great night, everybody. You too. Bye.